A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard this word of the Lord. At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress, since nations began until that time. At that time your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament, and those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. Verbum Domini. Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. Verbum Domini.
Thank you. Dominos vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father."
Verbum Domini.
Some years the fig tree is barren. Some years it's weighted down with plump, juicy figs. A few years ago, the fig tree on EWTN's property and on the corner of our friary grounds was barren. No figs that year. Spring started a little early that year, and the fig tree started to sprout leaves unseasonably early. Then another cold spell, as we have in Alabama. Our fig tree never truly recovered. And since then, we haven't had many figs at all. And the ones that managed to grow were merely small and shriveled up. Maybe we are being taught a lesson to wait, to be patient, to be vigilant. As we draw closer to the solemnity of Christ the King next Sunday, the church turns our attention on the end times, the second coming of the Son of Man in glory. We do not know when that time will be. That has to be revealed. It will be an unveiling. That's what the apocalypse is, an unveiling. The scriptures tell us to always be vigilant, to always be ready, always be prepared. Mother Angelica would say to live in the present moment. This moment is all we have right now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, now. To live now, in the present moment. This is where God is present to us. The lesson of the fig tree is a teaching on watching for God's timing. And God's timing is not always our timing. God's ways are not our ways, nor are his thoughts our thoughts. The budding of the fig tree teaches us to be attentive to the changing of the seasons. Just as we are attentive to the changing of the seasons, we are to be attentive to the coming of the presence of the kingdom of God. In everyday life, God's presence is made manifest among us. Most of the time, we don't perceive it. Remember in the book of Kings, God's presence wasn't in the cacophony, in the loud noises, in the earthquake, but it was in the still, small voice, quiet. The presence of the kingdom of God is in the world. The kingdom of God came into this world, and those of his own people did not perceive him and even receive him. They rejected him. The coming of the Lord Jesus as a child escaped their notice. And even his preaching and his teaching and his miracles were not enough for some to prove that he was the Messiah, that he was the anointed one. People being healed, lepers being cleansed, the deaf being able to hear, the blind being able to see, was not enough. He has come. The fig tree reminds us to stay vigilant in the spiritual life. Not only about the coming of the Lord Jesus at his second coming, but vigilant on how the kingdom of God is being manifested in this world and in our lives. In your life, the kingdom of God is being made manifest. The kingdom of God dwells in you through baptism. The rivers of living water, the rivers of grace are present in you. You may not perceive that. You might say it's even more powerful and rushing than Niagara Falls. The kingdom of God is present. In a way, we can be kingdom watchers, watchers of how God and his kingdom are present in the world. Sometimes it's easy to perceive the kingdom of God, God's presence in others, other people doing acts of charity. But it's hard to look deep down and to see God's presence in our soul, how God is present, how he desires to change us. Most of all through prayer and the sacraments. Being vigilant means being rooted in Christ. Just like a tree is properly rooted in the ground and grows properly, being vigilant means being rooted in Jesus, in Christ, in the Christ. And there are times when the life of the fig tree might seem barren and seem lifeless. No leaves, no fruit. It doesn't mean the tree is dead. The tree is not dead. Sometimes patience. Sometimes there are seasons in our life where things are dry. Great spiritual writers speak of this, St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila. Speak of the dark night of the senses, the dark night of the soul. They say God is so close to us that he actually blinds our senses, that we don't even perceive him because he's that close. We think that he's not there, but he is. In In relation to the spiritual life, there may be times when we experience these seasons of dryness. It doesn't mean it's the end. It means it's a time for perseverance. Perseverance and patience, vigilance. We profess weekly in the Creed, "He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end." Have we ever thought much about what we profess? And do we live our lives with an awareness that our life as we know it will come to an end? In other words, do we think much about our death? It's not a morbid thing. It's not a morbid thing to think about that moment when we will face Jesus face to face. It's not a morbid thing to prepare ourselves for that moment, because we don't know when that moment will be. All of us hear stories about somebody's life being ended early by a tragic accident, by health problems. Why not prepare now? Why not prepare now and be vigilant and patient, cultivating the soil of our soul, and not wait to that last moment, because we don't know if we're going to have cognition to do it, to have breath. At the end of our lives, Christ will judge us. And are you ready? That's preparation for the end times. Are we ready? Are we ready to give account for our lives? And these readings are meant to reorient us to the end, to our end, and to our goal. Union with God in heaven, the beatific vision, where God willing, we will see him face to face. And many of you were taught as a child from the Baltimore Catechism the question, why did God make you? It's a great question to ponder. Why did God make you? And you still answer, God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in heaven, in the next. God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this world, and to be happy with him forever in the next. Perhaps you have never asked yourself this question, why did God make me? If you are still breathing, it's not too late to ponder the eternal questions, to think about the eternal realities. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. We have this moment, now. And it was a grace that you even woke up this morning. The truth of the matter is that we must always be ready to meet God and to not be afraid. How many times throughout the scriptures the Lord tells us, be not afraid. Be not afraid. We must live our lives as if today were the last day. And that's not being morbid. To think about our end, to think about the moment where we will meet God face to face. How many times do we pray that when we pray the Hail Mary? Now and at the hour of our death. So you really think about it more than what you think. If you're praying that Hail Mary, the rosary every day, you're thinking about the hour of your death. Every one of us knows somebody personally or knows of a person we never experienced to die so young or so sudden. And we may be still confused, still asking God why. Why, God? Why did they have to go so young? There may never be a clear answer this side of heaven. In the experiencing the loss of a loved one, we come face to face with our own weakness, with our own frailty, with our own brokenness. We begin to think about and ask the fundamental questions of life when people die. Why am I here? What is this life about? Where am I going after this life? What does God have for me? And these are good questions that all of us should ask ourselves and ask often. And the solemnity of Christ the King next week points us to the answer. The answer to all of these questions. Jesus Christ is the definitive answer to every question that the human heart asks. Pope St. John Paul II. It's one of the most profound things, statements that he ever said. So many things that he said were profound. Jesus Christ is a definitive answer to every question that the human heart asks. Jesus. Only in Christ do we find the answer to every problem that we are faced with. He is the answer to life's toughest trials. Nothing in your life is too big, too disastrous, too burdensome, or too complicated for our God. You might say that he came in to dive directly into the craziness to save us. He's the one who rescues us from slavery and sin, sets us free. Mother Teresa would say, give him a chance. Give him a chance to be Savior. Few people really give God a chance to work in their lives until the end, until their later years. Lord, I don't want to do it now. I will later. Give him a chance now. Don't be among those few people. While we profess weekly that Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and that the dead in his second coming will come, he will come, we know that Christ in his kingdom is already present here in the world in seed form. Catechism says the kingdom is present already, but not yet. There's like a tension there. It's already present, but not yet. It's present in creation, it's present in grace, but not fully, hasn't fully been unveiled, unleashed. Christ is present in his word, in the gospel, when it's proclaimed. He's present in the sacraments, most of all, in the Holy Eucharist, baptism, confirmation. He's present in the confessional in a powerful way. He's present in marriage. He's present in the marriage between one man and one woman. It's powerful when Christ is present and active in married love. He's present in holy orders, in the episcopacy, in the priesthood, and in the diaconate. He's present in the sacrament of penance and anointing of the sick. When Christ lays his hands, when he heals, whether it be a healing in body or a healing in spirit. He's present where two or three are gathered in his name. He's present in the suffering, the lonely, the depressed. He's present in the poor and the needy. We need not have to go too far to be in his presence, to be present to his kingdom. The heart of Christ is alive and is beating where you least expect it. Where you least expect it. He's there. He's present. And he may be silent. That's why Mother Teresa used to spend so much time in front of the Blessed Sacrament before she would go out and pick up the poor on the streets. She wanted to condition herself that if I perceive Jesus present in the Eucharist in this silent way, then I can perceive Jesus in all the other ways that he is silent, especially in the poorest of the poor, on the streets. And if I see Jesus present in the Eucharist, silent, that the presence of Jesus is in the poor, in the despised, silent. Christ comes in everyday, ordinary experiences of daily life. Do we notice him? Do we even look for him? It is easy for each of us to miss his hand reaching out to us. Do we even notice Christ in those circumstances? People that may reach out to us every day. And Jesus is very clear in the Gospel of St. Matthew, when you did it for one of the least of these brethren, you did it for me. The five-finger gospel. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, if you have five hands, you can look down and you can do the five-finger gospel. You did it for me. All of these ways, all of these presence of Jesus allow us to be vigilant, to be watchful. And while we must be vigilant of the coming of Christ in glory, we need to recognize that he is already present in our midst and preparing us for that day when we will see him face to face. And if we do not recognize Jesus now, how will we recognize him when he comes again in glory? Condition yourselves now. We will recognize him when he comes in glory, I promise you. But we want to condition ourselves now to receive him. How we will receive him when he comes again with his glorious face.